Joining us now on Easy's Community Focus, I am so happy to welcome Memorial Hospital Pembroke's Chief Nursing Officer, David Starnes. David, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about your background in the medical field and places that you've worked and your specialties?
Sure, absolutely. I've been with Memorial for 21 years.
Wow.
I started working in the emergency room straight out of the United States Navy. I was United States Navy Corpsman for 4 years and worked through and at emergency rooms most of my career, except for the past 2 years. During that time, I held positions as the Director of Emergency Services at Memorial Hospital Miramar, and then I was the Director of Emergency and Trauma Services at Memorial Regional Hospital's Trauma Center and Quaternary Care Center. And for the past 2 years, I've been the Chief Nursing Officer here at Memorial Hospital Pembroke.
Well, you are certainly using all your experience in this past year with COVID-19. You know, I'm going to ask you, can you just relate to the audience a little bit of what it's like when you have people coming in with COVID-19 symptoms?
That's a great statement. You know, as the Director of Emergency Services, especially at Memorial Regional Hospital, I was overseeing our disaster preparedness program. And I was intimately involved with the nursing home issue when we had the hurricane and we had to evacuate, you know, numerous amounts of nursing home patients out. And just, you know, any large scale events and things of that nature. And most of the time when you're dealing with a disaster, you mitigate through the disaster and then you have a recovery period and you move on and learn. And we're not finished mitigating yet. And it's almost been a year. Yeah. So working in that same environment, I like to say it's like that movie Groundhog Day, where you wake up, it's the same thing again and again and again. And the only real change is whether or not there's more of it or less of it that day. And, you know, for the nursing staff and the clinical staff, really the frontline staff, in order to treat COVID patients, you're head to toe in full PPE. You know, all of the nursing staff all day are in masks, but really on the front lines on our COVID units, which are in the emergency room, they're on the front lines. And we have two sections of the emergency room, as do all of our ERs. One section, the clean medical side, and then another section, the COVID side. And then we have floors converted at our hospital, just like all of our hospital. And on those units, they're closed units. They have negative pressure. So there's big machines in there driving the air, you know, away from escaping or leaving those areas. They're literally sealed in there with glass doors on the outside that we've had to place on these units, and just full PPE head to toe. It's a grueling 12-hour shift. They deal with patients that are just struggling to get air into their body. High flow oxygen is now used. We turn patients a lot in their beds. And for the nursing staff as well, because the patients are so sick on these units, we've had to go down on our nursing ratios. So instead of, you know, on a medical floor, it's 6-1. On a telemetry floor, it's 5-1. We went to 4-1 in all of these cases with our care, which has created a crunch for nursing. It's very hard to staff the hospitals right now. Nurses and doctors are just scarce. There's not a lot of them out there anymore. We've utilized travel nurses to help supplement our workforce and bring our workforce up to par. We do feel we have a good workforce right now, but the numbers have went up a little bit across the district, across the Memorial Healthcare System. We're certainly not as bad as we were back in July.
Yeah.
But we are a little higher than we'd like to be right now.
Well, you know, I look at the numbers pretty much daily, and Texas, California, and Florida have consistently been the three states with the highest number of new cases, the highest number of active cases, the highest number of deaths. And what I found really interesting in Florida in particular is our active cases continue to stay very high relative to other states that have the same number of people who were tested, but more of them have recovered. And I don't know if that's because we were hit harder earlier before we knew as much as we did, or if it's just that we have more older people or more people who are susceptible, but certainly the pressure on the healthcare system is tremendous. And before anything else, I just have to, you know, send my heart out to all of you in the healthcare field who keep going there day after day and putting yourselves at risk. And if you don't mind, for those who are not believers, who think that this is some kind of just another flu, can you just clarify?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, unfortunately, the pandemic, especially in this country, has been politicized. And I'm not going to speak about politics today. I'm just going to speak about the virus and science. And it's real. We've had staff members that have gotten COVID-19 that still today have COVID-19. Wow. And in our ICUs, it's real because we have watched copious amounts of patients succumb to their illness. Mm. And, you know, when you're in the ICU and you can't breathe, this isn't something that takes place with these ICU patients overnight. It's drawn out. Some, you know, if you're in your 40s and you get this and you land up in the ICU, you're struggling to breathe. Some of these people fight for weeks on weeks and weeks. And eventually the virus continues to replicate itself. They cannot build the defense. Everything that we've given them doesn't work. And they succumb to the virus. And we've seen this over and over and over again. And it's not a marathon. It's whatever's longer than a marathon.
Right.
Grueling. We've been doing it for a year. We've seen burnout. We've seen nurses retire early or leave the profession altogether because it is a struggle to deal with all of this and walk through the doors knowing that you're putting yourself at risk every single day. So it's as real as it gets. It's the first time anybody in healthcare has seen anything like this in over 100 years. And with it, I always say, you know, as far as resources go, anything we use to treat COVID-19, you know, we need to plan on running out of that. At one point, we were monitoring our oxygen in the building because so many people were on oxygen. And, you know, PPE, we haven't run out of PPE by the grace of God. Our company has done well to secure vendors to keep our PPE lined up. But we were reprocessing masks at one point. We haven't had to do that in a while because we've gotten in a steady stream of PPE. But it's been difficult and it's definitely real. And, you know, right now it's not going away.
No, and I understand that there are now at least two other mutations that are more contagious, if not necessarily more serious or deadly, but more contagious, the one in the UK and now one from Brazil. And is it true that there's also another mutation in South Africa?
That's what I've heard from, you know, various media sources. I'm sure we're probably looking at the same ones, but that's correct. I'm hearing the exact same thing.
Well, the good news is we do have a vaccination program that seems to be working well, finally. It looks like some of the numbers are starting to go down a little bit. And the other thing is finally, you know, it's taken time because this is novel, new. We knew nothing. But over time, the medical scientists have found some treatments that are working. And you're kind of ahead of the curve at Memorial with using the monoclonal antibodies treatment. What exactly is that and how does it help?
So that's a great question. The monoclonal antibodies are a man-made antiviral medicine. And what they do is they attack the spike protein on the COVID virus. What that does is stops the virus from being able to attach to your cells. Therefore, it can't get in your cells and mate with the mitochondria and begin to reproduce itself at an accelerated rate to the point that your cell explodes with these new COVID viruses, and then those go out and infect more cells. So monoclonal antibody therapy, along the same lines and the same philosophy as the vaccine, both are attacking the spike protein on the coronavirus. We have, at Memorial Hospital Pembroke, treated over 300 patients thus far, been very, very successful in our rollout. And thus far, we monitor everything. We've only had 6 patients return to the hospital after receiving treatment.
Okay.
So we're very excited about this treatment. We have been giving it to patients since December. There are some parameters with getting the monoclonal antibody infusions, and we do have to go along those guidelines. It's under an emergency use authorization right now, so there are some pretty strict guidelines. But even so, we are looking at targeting, especially our community that is 65 and older. We know that if you're 65 and older and you have comorbidities or health issues like respiratory disease or cardiac disease, that you are at a very high risk if you contact COVID-19 of becoming very sick, possibly hospitalized, and possibly landing in the ICU.
So does that mean you are eligible to get the monoclonal antibodies?
If you have a positive COVID test and you've had that positive test within the past 10 days, and you have a body mass index of greater than 35, chronic kidney disease, diabetes, immunosuppressive disease, or you're receiving an immunosuppressive treatment, so in your cancer patients, if you're 65 years or older, or if you're 55 years or older with any of those issues or cardiovascular disease, and you're in that first 10-day window, and you have any symptoms, so if you have a cough, you have a sore throat, if you have low-grade fever, then you are eligible to receive this medicine. What you'll need to do is you need to be screened by a doctor, so you will need to follow up with your primary doctor. We are a community hospital, so regardless of your ability to pay, we will make sure that you get this drug. We're offering it to everybody, and we mean that. Your doctor will screen you, and if you fall under the criteria, they will contact our central scheduling department, and they will get you scheduled to receive this drug. We have a clinic here that's an infusion clinic that's open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. 7 days a week. And because we've seen more of an outcry from the community for this drug, we did just recently open it up on the weekends. But we'd like to be giving more of the drug. We do want to get the word out there. We do think it's been extremely successful, and we want to help the community. The more people that we can get infused, especially if they've got a positive COVID test, the less likely you are to wind up very sick or in the hospital or possibly in the hospital and in the ICU or worse.
Okay, so it's not necessarily a cure, but it does help keep you from having the disease develop further.
That is correct. Yes, ma'am. And okay. Right now there's not a lot of tools in our tool belt other than supplemental oxygen therapy and turning patients and monitoring them. We do have remdesivir that we're able to give, but that's really on the acute side when the patients have gotten really, really sick. So I think one of the successes we've seen is this drug, we're giving it early on. So you're not in that acute phase of the virus and your body's still able to fight it with this drug and mount a really good defense.
What would you say to people, and I know several personally, who have been positive for COVID, they've had mild cases, and so they have this kind of viewpoint that, well, it's not such a big deal. And for someone who has only mild symptoms but tests positive and thinks that it's just going to go away, should they go ahead, even if they only have mild symptoms, and look for that referral from their primary to get the monoclonal antibodies?
So that's a great question. I would say if you're under 55, this is still offered to you if you meet one of those categories. But honestly, over 55 and especially over 65, that is the highest risk factor. It is the risk factor that has been linked to the most mortalities. You're at the highest risk. And personally, if I was 65 or older and I knew this drug was available and I had a positive COVID test, I would be running, not walking, to my doctor to get infused. It is something we can give you. We do see it working. We've seen good results around the United States as well. If you'll remember, this is one of the drugs, Regeneron, that was given to the president, and we saw that he was able to recover quickly as well. So definitely for that high risk category, it's more risky to go out on your own and just try to fight it yourself. And there's no reason you have to do that if you qualify to get this therapy.
Okay, it's a great thing. How is the supply of that?
So another good question. Right now, we have close to 1,000 doses in the Memorial Healthcare System. And, you know, we've given over 300 so far. So we're looking to give it all out to the community. Healthy community is a good thing. Plus, there is a bed crunch right now. This is the busiest time of the year for South Florida's hospitals. We usually see flu kind of baked in with the weather getting a little cooler and more people traveling down to South Florida. Albeit less people have moved down to South Florida, this is still our busier time of the year. And we do think this is keeping people healthy and out of the hospital. And we have those acute care beds back for the community that truly needs them for other medical emergencies.
What is the experience like for someone who is getting the transfusion? Is this a one-time deal, done, and then you're out? Do you have to come back for a second infusion? How long does the infusion take?
So our centralized scheduling department, they will get you scheduled and slotted at a time. You'll arrive at our emergency room entrance here at Pembroke. We have a separate unit opened up for the infusion clinic. We will take you there. You'll see a doctor. He'll monitor you throughout the infusion. The infusion takes 1 hour. A nurse will be there infusing the drug with you. They'll monitor you for that hour and infuse you. And then we'll watch you for another hour. When you're done, we'll remove the IV, we'll give you some discharge instructions and send you on your way home, and that's it. There are no more treatments or nothing else you're responsible for doing after that.
And no issues with reactions or side effects?
Thus far, knock on wood, today, we have no issues with reactions or side effects. That is correct.
Once someone has gotten this treatment, it doesn't mean that they are finished with COVID and can go out and, you know, gallivant around. It just means that they'll have an easier time dealing with it. They should still go home and quarantine and be wearing a mask, et cetera.
Yeah, that is correct. It's along the same guidelines as when you receive a vaccination. They've claimed that, you know, I myself had the Pfizer vaccination, both doses, but because you still have a 6% chance of contacting it and there's still an outbreak in the community, we are still asking you, absolutely, go home, quarantine yourself until you feel better. For our staff, it's 10 days after the last symptom that you had. We're letting them back to work. But we still suggest that, yes, wear the mask and wash your hands and do the quarantine as suggested by the CDC.
Okay. Are you aware of any other new treatments that may be coming down the pike eventually?
Just more vaccinations. You know, when the state gets supplied from the federal government, they are shipping them out to us. We have two vaccination clinics open right now, both for our staff and for the public 65 and older. And they are just a thing of beauty to watch. I went through myself, and several of our staff members have gotten vaccinated. And it's a smooth process. It's a great, easy process. And I'll tell you, there's a different feeling when you walk in those doors than walking in the doors of the hospital. There's a feeling of hope at those vaccination clinics. So we're very excited that you know, as soon as we get more vaccinations, we're getting them into the arms of folks. It's the only way through this. We need to get vaccinated in order to reach herd immunity.
Okay. So how does someone schedule an appointment for either vaccination or right now the monoclonal antibody if they have tested positive?
So with the vaccination, it's first come, first serve. Memorial has a system called MyChart. So if you've ever been a patient before, then you have access to MyChart. If you haven't, you can go onto the Memorial website at mhs.net. And there are prompts in there to walk you through on how to open up MyChart. And basically, you go into MyChart. When they do have vaccinations, they'll list them there for different scheduling times. You choose one of those scheduling times and arrive at one of the vaccination centers. For the monoclonal antibody therapy treatment, again, you need to have had a positive COVID test. It has to be within 10 days. You need to be symptomatic of some sort. That means you lost taste, you lost smell, you have a sore throat, you have a cough, but not too sick. If you're too sick, then you would require hospitalization, and this drug isn't for you. So this is really before you've gotten to that very acute phase of the illness. You'll need to contact your doctor. Your doctor will screen you for these criteria that I've mentioned, and then your doctor will contact our centralized scheduling department, and then they will get you on the list and get you scheduled and get you a time slotted so that you can come in and receive the monoclonal antibody therapy.
This is a fantastic move forward, a leap forward in preventing the serious or fatal cases, and it's going to make a huge difference for our community. Is there a phone number people should call, or just go to the website mhs.net to find where they can sign up?
Yes, it's your physician that'll be contacting our centralized scheduling department. They ask that you don't contact them because you really need to get screened and make sure that you meet criteria first. And we have that information to our participating physicians.
Okay, great. And also, I just wanted to add in, I know that over time you will run out of vaccine, but then you get new shipments. So people should always check back because the supply is constantly being replenished. Although on one particular day, there may not be any. The next day there will be.
That is absolutely correct. And we like to say things change around here by the hour. Not by the day or the week.
Yeah.
It's the God's honest truth. It really does. But, you know, the state has been good. When they get an allotment of vaccine, they are shipping it to us. And because we have our centers up and running, we're getting those appointments just loaded into MyChart just as fast as we can.
Okay, well, all those people I mentioned that I know who have mild cases, I'm going to have them contact their doctors right away.
thank you. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. I thank you, Chief Nursing Officer David Starnes with Memorial Hospital Pembroke. It's so great to know that we have people with your education, your training, and the planning that Memorial has done for situations like this that we never expected we would encounter. And you're right on top of things. I appreciate so much what you do.
Thank you, Ellen. It's all about taking care of the community, and that's our mission.
100%. Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you.